Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Hi, Evan. You're so welcome.
Welcome to Montessori Mommies.
Hosted by
a Montessori mom.
And who are you?
I am a Montessori daddy.
Okay, Evan, in what way do you Montessori your children?
I don't... Well, see, Montessori is not something you do to someone. It's a way of life.
Mm.
It's a way you live.
Mm.
See, and that's the Montessori way. You don't Montessori people.
I mean...
You Montessori together with people.
Okay.
So that's the difference between the traditional school model created by the Industrial Revolution, which is really the origins of this show we call
public school.
Public school. And so my exposure to Montessori goes way back. I always sound so much louder than anyone else on the podcast.
Because you are that loud.
Listen to how softly I'm speaking. I'm speaking. Is it because my voice is just so
manly?
It's just so good for radio that the microphone loves it?
You are meant for this. The microphone is whispering, talk to me.
I think we need to have you on. Whenever I'm on this microphone, I feel like I have such a bassy. So when I was very young, we lived in Germany. And in Germany, my parents, for I think it was 2 years, I can't remember because I was very young, they put me in a Montessori school. And I don't know if it's because I'm that gurgling in the background is our dishwasher. I don't know if it's because I'm exceedingly gifted intellectually or because I just have a keen memory. I'm not sure why, but I remember it impacted me deeply. I have many memories of Montessori, of this time in Montessori. And to me as a kid, I just thought I was playing most of the time. I just thought I was like playing with stuff.
Yeah.
But then when we started doing more research into Montessori, I realized that, like, as you were showing me some of the different
I feel like you didn't really like
materials
that didn't come up until I had bought Montessori materials and
what
I
didn't pulled come them up
that your Montessori experience.
No, I knew.
I know you knew, but like life. You didn't know like really how to explain it or what you did until pull this thing out of this box that I'd ordered and be like, oh my gosh, I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened
a lot. Using this thing.
Yeah. That happened a whole lot. Yeah. I have all these flashbacks of. Yeah. No, I have really, really positive memories. I mean, one of the strongest memories is you start working with these little beads and then I guess when you get to a certain point, they let you go off by yourself or they let me go off by myself in this room. And I recreated I put one bead for, I guess, single digit or something. And then I did 10 in one row.
For the tens, decimal place.
And then I did 10 tens as like a layer. And then I did 10 layers and made a cube. And so I just kept going.
Yeah.
And laid it all out and had the little labels and everything. And I remember there's some picture somewhere because I remember later in life looking at the picture, like when I was old, you know, I don't know. I was
too bad you don't really understand numbers that well as an adult.
I only understand whole numbers. I only understand tens, hundreds, thousands. I don't understand any other numbers. That was it. That was where it stopped. I should have kept going. It would have fixed me. This is why it probably messed me up because I probably learned Montessori way the numbers.
And then I switched. Went back to the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
But you know what's funny is in Germany is also where I can locate when I did learn something, and it was non-Montessori in Germany. I think it was when we first got to Germany. I don't know. Anyways, there's another memory in Germany around the same time, second grade or whatever, where we were in a traditional classroom setting. Okay. And this was on base. Anyways, and I remember they taught us a way to do...
On base because you're a military family.
Yeah,
military
they taught us a way to do either addition or multiplication or something where you count these points on the number.
Right.
So if there's a big six, I'm drawing a big six.
Which is not...
If there's a big six, there's 3 points that you count twice. So if you do 6 times 2, you'd go 2, 4... Or no. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh. This is how well this method worked for you.
Yeah, I forget. How would you do it? Two, four, six.
What are you doing? 3 times 2? Oh,
okay. So 2 times 6. So you do the 6. Okay, so what they would do is, first what they taught us was 6. So the way you would count 6 on the number. And you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And so for like a 4, there'd be these 4 points that you count. But for a 4, you go 1, 2, 3, 4 on the 4.
Yeah, which doesn't work because there's more points on
the 4. No, I know. But there was, well, I don't know. It stuck with me. There was some points.
Well, I know. So my dad learned this method too.
Yeah,
to this day. And he's like, he tried to like re-explain it. He was like, that doesn't make sense. Don't teach your kids that.
Yeah, no, it's so bad.
He was like trying to help Dominic with his work.
Yeah,
and he was like, never mind. I'm not helping.
I'm taking like Calc 2 at Georgia Tech as a biomedical engineering student, and I'm going 2 times 4. So I'm going like, here's the 4 and there's 4 points. So you would count by 2, 2, 4, 6, 8 to do 4 times 2.
Yeah. Instead, you shouldn't have to do, no, you should just know it.
So what happened was then we moved to Mississippi.
Yeah.
And then in Mississippi was when we were going over multiplication, but I was still, so when I was younger, they were teaching us this as a way to do addition, but then I was using it for multiplication. So then we had to take this test where we had to get through all the multiplications tables in a certain
speed
amount
test.
Of time. Well, I had to retake it 3 times because I was using the method. I was using that as my crutch.
Yeah.
Instead of, and I was trying to memorize some of the multiplications table. And in fact, there's another very strong memory that I have of some program I used when my grandmother was in town for whatever reason, and I memorized the sevens table, and I know the sevens table is pretty dang good for some reason
because you worked on it.
I think it was that week we had a test on the sevens table, and then for whatever reason I got it, but the rest of the table I didn't memorize. But when we did the test, I just kept trying to do that method as quickly as possible, and I just got through on the last whatever, and then we moved to some other state where they had some other standard for math.
So rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm damaged goods. Mm. But if I can make it, anyone can.
If you have a wife like me.
No, I would have still survived without a wife.
I mean, you did transfer out of engineering school.
Yeah. Cause I was like, that's not for me. What's been your experience of Montessori?
Well,
why did you ask me that? Where do you want this podcast episode to go? This is the first time I've been on the podcast, so I think this will be your best episode.
Okay.
Already people just like, they like you more because they know who your husband is. And they're like, wow, this guy's cool. This guy is funny. This guy's attractive. This guy's...
has a big nose.
Yeah.
A deep radio voice.
Well... Who do you think has a bigger nose, me or you?
You.
You have a more German nose.
That's true.
Which is very strong.
It's a strong nose.
Nose. That's not German.
Yours is wide.
No, yours is wide.
No, mine is.
Have you met your father? No.
In this way.
No.
Mine's narrow. Yours is like.
Yours is wide.
Oh, I have a thin bridge.
No. Yeah, you have a thin. Yeah, but still.
Your bridge is huge.
Stop talking about my bridge. It's my bridge. No, you have wide down here.
Yes. Do you want to? Would you like to enlighten everybody?
What?
How you so endearingly called what you did with my nose?
What did I do with your nose?
You just would stick your finger up there and say you were spelunking. As we were dating, by the way, I wouldn't recommend that to anybody.
You have very large nostrils. Mm. They look like the entrance to a cavern.
Mm-hmm.
A cave, a cavernous cave.
Because those are the same thing.
Did you have a lot of boogers growing up? Was that like a thing?
No.
No? Okay. Just wondering.
No.
What's the Montessori way to deal with nose pickers? Do you shame them? Do you put them in the corner? Or do you say...
There's no corners in Montessori.
Or do you say, this is your work. Are you proud of it? when they come to you and they're like, look at that, mommy. And you go, are you proud of your work?
No, but that would be a grace and courtesy lesson to teach them. We have lessons on grace and courtesy.
So you teach them how to be graceful.
Probably would say, oh, if you have something bothering your nose, I see that. The proper way to deal with that would be...
Wait, but if it's already out of their nose?
Taking a tissue and going into the bathroom and taking care of that.
That'd be the graceful way to deal with that. Yeah.
This is the proper.
That's the proper way. That's a graceful way.
Not saying, ew, that's gross. You're nasty.
You're a dirty, dirty boy. Don't ever do that again.
Okay, that's enough. That's too much. You're going overboard here.
What are you talking about? You said, ew. You're a gross little boy.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Don't do that to your kids. Yeah, don't do
that. What do you hope that people get out of this podcast? Besides me.
I hope that people get inspiration.
I'm inspiring.
For Montessori, like trying to do Montessori at home. And approach it like approaching Montessori in a homeschool method or just like at home and how you treat your children and raise your children.
So you want them to get some inspiration. So you want them to
this
be
isn't
like,
necessarily a how to. Like, I think if you want that, you need to read the books.
So this is more
because
just like,
I'm not going to read a book again. I don't think that was probably went pretty bad last time.
Yeah.
I read a couple of pages.
So they read the books, they read the books and then they listen in and they feel more like,
somebody else does this.
Someone else does this. Someone else is a friend. I can do this too.
Someone else does this imperfectly.
And so
that gives me license to keep trying, even though like I see this ideal that's very good and I want to strive toward it, but it's okay if it's not perfect. Like,
and someone else, going. Someone else has,
it's awesome.
Someone else has this like lightheartedness about it and also sharing about their struggles and what they're passionate about and encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the random life quotes that you hear. What are you staring at?
I don't know what you're talking about. What?
What are you doing? What are you doing to me?
Nothing. I don't know. What are you?
Okay, Jim.
Thank you. That's all I was going
That's
for.
That's all you were going for.
Those of you who are watching at home, I was making an Office reference by staring at Danielle's forehead.
The Office reference.
Yeah. Okay.
Only to be found on Netflix.
What else do you want people to know about me? This is your podcast. I'm your guest. I'm the best guest you've ever had. You have me here.
So many things going through my
head. I'm an expensive guest. What do you want? This is your opportunity. You have me here. I'm sitting down. Here I am. You have my full undivided attention.
What do you think about giving kids glass cups?
I think that we should give them glass in a controlled way.
Which is all what Montessori is all about. So what do we do about our tile floor where the glass keeps busting and literally like exploding and hitting the ceiling when it hits the floor?
Oh, you mean when our youngest, sweetest, only daughter cut up her fingers because she dropped glass on the floor and then was in the middle of it and put her hand down and was crawling through it? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Oh, what are you talking about?
You should cut that out.
Why?
You should cut that out.
Why? We have to explain why she's missing fingers.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to have to tell someone eventually why she only has 7 fingers. Our daughter has all of her fingers.
There are no words.
What?
I can't keep up with you.
Yeah, you can. I think it's fine to do glass. I think in principle, it's a great idea because they do treat it differently and they learn to treat things. That's the whole principle, is like they treat real things way more respectfully than they do like plastic. Yeah, if yeah. they're just surrounded by plastic, just throwing it around and stuff. So I have noticed, like, I was very nervous about that and hesitant, but I have noticed as well that they treat it much more with respect, and then they learn how to be more, how to have control of their hands and stuff much better, and the weight of the glass and everything. I will say, however, that I'm not sure it's that practical to just fill your entire house with glass cups. I think, like, for us, we have a room that kind of has most of the homeschool stuff, and I think it is cool and works. It seems to have worked out to put glass bowls and glass cups and glass carafes and stuff like that in these cabinets that are kind of locked, so that when you do homeschool, you're able to watch them and there's carpet and you're able to, like, kind of observe. But having it in, like, the kitchen where like our babies can just kind of get to it, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that. Now, we have had...
I hate the tile.
Yes, I think we should fill our house with rubber flooring.
No, the laminate works great. Like, the glass would bounce. It wouldn't break.
It might.
It never might still break. It never broke in our other houses, on the wood or the glass.
So in all of other houses, you've never broken a glass, and if you would have dropped it, it would have just bounced.
It bounces.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
I don't have any memories of it shattering everywhere.
Anyways, listen, Danielle.
Stone might break, but glass usually didn't. Like, if it's a...
Listen, I don't want to put down laminate because that's not a real material, and I want our kids to feel real things, wood. Like stone and wood. You could do
wood. Stone breaks glass, too. It's just the worst thing. I hate tile. I guess I just have to say that. Good.
Tile's not that bad.
Please continue.
Anyways, I think...
Because if you break anything on it, it like shatters it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when Ignatius slipped on it one day and cracked his head on it, and like
that can happen
heard
on,
this crack.
Yeah, that can happen on laminate.
Horrible. No, but it wouldn't be as bad. His head would bounce. It wouldn't just like
his head would bounce. Bouncing heads.
Yeah, wouldn't just
like, I don't know.
Contusion, I don't know. Blood.
I don't know. I think
anyways, back to
having,
glass.
Having glass in the bottom cupboards in your kitchen where you have tile might not be the best idea. It's great in principle, but I think...
Yeah, the tile is just
keep it to the homeschool room. Keep it to the homeschool room. Ugh. Or just a few glasses on the table. Like, our kids have a few glasses. That's worked out fine, but...
Sorry.
What? You're tapping.
I'm like my tapping.
Yeah, you're doing your... I'm frustrated by this conversation. I'm tapping.
I'm frustrated by the tile. Tile frustrates me.
What else do you want people to know about me? Or what else do you want to get out of me?
Let's see.
As a husband of a Montessori person.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your audience is mostly women? Or do you think your audience would be mostly men? Because you're so attractive.
Mostly women.
Okay.
There's plenty of attractive women out there that aren't doing Montessori podcasts that men don't have to sit through in order to see a pretty woman.
Should I tell?
Also, there's no video on mine usually. I mean, if you put this video together, then that'll be pretty
special.
Will
you use it? That'd be pretty special. This will be your most special episode.
It will be.
For multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Should I tell the story of the story of the woman that called to the parish? It's not related to Montessori, but remember the story I called you and told you?
Yeah.
Should I tell that story?
Is that
it's not related to Montessori at all.
No, it's not.
It's related to women.
Sure. Tell the story. Okay, let's hear a story.
Okay.
We interrupt this podcast for
a story.
Story time. They do that.
Listen,
Montessori.
If you're going to be a Montessori mom, you need to find people that are going to make you laugh, because being a Montessori mom is hard. That's what I want to say. That's why I'm going to tell this story. So this woman called. I work at a church. And this woman called the church and said that she was looking for a Bible study. And I asked her, well, you know, what what are you looking for? Because we have all sorts of different types of Bible studies and programs and small groups and stuff. So I said, what are you looking for? And she started crying and said that her son, who's now 25, you know, they raised him Catholic, but now he's an atheist. And she said, I just feel like if I could find a program that could help me find some answers and I could have better answers. But the problem, you know, as she's explaining this, she said, well, but part of the problem is my son's just so smart. And I don't know. I feel like I had one job, which was to raise my son Christian, and now he's an atheist. And she's just, you know, hurting about that. And immediately I was like, oh, we were going to do a program that night that I think would have been perfect for her. And she was like, I'm kind of now doubting God and I'm not sure what to think. And so I said, this sounds like perfect for this program we're doing tonight. And I'm going to send you a link and I want you to just fill out this form to RSVP and, you know, enter your email. And if you have any dietary restrictions and if you want to bring someone else and all this, it was just like an RSVP form. So I sent her, I said, what are you doing tonight? And she said, you know, before I sent her the link, I was like, what are you doing tonight? And she said, nothing. I have no friends. I have no job. I have nothing. And, I said, okay, well, go to this link and fill out the form. And she said, I have to admit, I'm a little nervous to go online. And I said, why? And she said, well, before I called the parish asking for a Bible study, I went online and I was just looking for other people like me. So I went to Google and I went to the search bar and I just typed in lonely housewives. And she said, I have to admit, I did not like what I saw. She said, I did not. And now I'm afraid to go on the internet at all. Because, you know, and I could just imagine her. Like, I laughed so hard. And she laughed. We were both laughing and crying. We were just howling. You know, it was both sad and funny at the same time. It was like the best kind of laugh when you're like laughing at yourself and then laughing at life. And
yeah.
And I said, well, just click the link I send you. Don't go typing around anywhere. Just click the link. But I could just imagine her, you know, she's just in this low, just such a low point, you know, where she's typing in lonely housewives, just trying to find a friend. She's trying to find someone. She had lived in Michigan for 25 years and then moved to Grapevine. And oh man, it was like the best type of laugh where something where like life hurts and you're just hurting about life and you just like life is sad. Yeah. It's just so sad. And it gets to such a tragic, sad point that you're just laughing at how sad it is that you type in lonely housewives and then all of these like, you know, cheat with this woman websites and stuff come up. And then I can just picture her going, well, no, I'm looking for lonely housewives, but not those type of lonely housewives. But like, you know, I am
the
looking.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess these are lonely as well, but not, I don't want that type of comfort. You know, oh gosh. Oh, it was so funny. Oh gosh. We were laughing so hard. She's the sweetest person. She's so great.
Yeah. She seemed like it when I met her.
Yeah. You think she's Montessori? You think she's been Montessori'd?
You know.
Do you think you can tell when you meet people that they've been Montessori'd? Apparently.
Only if you hear them speak.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they have a lisp. Apparently, is this true? Apparently, a lot of the biggest companies in the world right now, Google, Apple, what else? I think Google, Apple. Their founders were like, if you look at a lot
had
of the
Montessori education.
Yeah, a lot of the biggest companies in the world right now, some of either the founders or the CEOs, I don't know. There's something about, it's not just like, oh, one or two. It's like, there's a pretty significant number of them.
Yeah.
That did Montessori. What?
Can I look that up?
Sure. This is your podcast. I'm here. You're in charge.
Okay. Oh.
Let me know when we're
ending. I'm in charge, huh?
Yeah. Let me know when we're ending.
Okay. Let's see here.
How are you even going to look that up?
CEO with Montessori Primary School Education. Maybe somebody like wrote it down and compiled a list.
He was a Montessori lift.
Tech innovators who went to Montessori school.
You know, your face is directly next to
that. Okay.
I bet everyone listening loved hearing you do that right into their ear.
Larry Page, CEO of Google. Okay.
Okay.
He said some things about Montessori, but I'm not going to repeat them. Let's see. Thomas Edison says he likes the Montessori method, but he didn't actually go to Montessori school. Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google.
Who?
Sergey Brin. Yep.
Sergey Brin.
Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon. No.
Jeff Bezos?
Yep.
Jeff went to Montessori?
Yep.
Old Jeff.
Young Jeff would get so engrossed in his activities as a Montessori preschooler that his teachers would literally have to pick him up out of his chair and go to the next task.
Gosh, they'd have to pry those books out of his cold hands. He just was wrapped up in the books.
Creator of The Sims video game, Will Wright.
Ooh, I played that game.
Me too.
Does that make me Montessori? You played that?
Yeah.
No.
Who didn't play The Sims?
Are you serious?
It was like the only computer game when we were kids.
Oh my gosh, I used to go over my friend's house. I was kind of friends with this kid just to go over his house and play Sims.
That's horrible.
Isn't that sad?
That speaks about who you are.
He had a weird house. He had a really weird house. You know when you go in someone's house and you're like, ah, the smell's just off. It's just off. It's like the smell's like, ah, the smell of this house is a little off.
Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Telling you.
Yeah.
It's really catching on.
I think that's where it ends.
I think Montessori is really catching on.
I don't know about that.
I think it's...
But obviously there's some big people that have done some very, like...
Big things.
Yeah, like things that take vision.
Well, here's the thing.
And like focus.
Well, here's the thing. I think entrepreneurship, that type of like tech startup entrepreneurship type path requires a certain level of like... the traditional model of education is very like, I'm going to give you some information and then I'm going to test you and you just need to give it back.
Yeah.
Whereas Montessori is much more self-led. It's much more like if they're going in a direction, just like encourage it and let them just explore and go. And then they keep getting affirmed as they just keep pursuing their own
interests.
Yeah. I feel like entrepreneurship is very similar to that. It's like, what do you want to do? And then you just kind of like, I think we should start this company. And then you just start kind of doing it. And you just start following whatever's working. And then things aren't working. You're just like, okay, I'm going in. Much more comfortable with creativity and exploring and curiosity, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I feel like if you wanted your kids to be entrepreneurs or if you wanted them to be set up to have the capacity for entrepreneurship, if you had to pick one, I feel like Montessori would be much more for people who are more artistic or self-driven or, maybe even like scientists, maybe even like some type of...
I think it doesn't matter necessarily what your personality type is, but it teaches you to be that way.
Yeah.
And like it gives you the confidence in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it is like, education doesn't start from somewhere else. It starts with you. Like you're interested and you go and do that. Mm. And the awesome thing about Montessori is that like the basis is a prepared environment. So if you prepare the environment with enough care and correctly that this child can lead himself through this environment, like that's how.
Yeah. Do you think
can be prepared and that a child can lead himself through it and always be led in the right direction. Hmm.
Do you think Montessori is for everyone? Do you think like there might be moms out there that are like, I don't know if Montessori works for my kid. Maybe it's a special needs kid or maybe it's just a...
Montessori started with special needs kids.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But do you think there are some kids that might not it, like maybe a different method would be better. Maybe like one-on-one homeschooling in a more like booklet book form. Or,
I'm in no way a child psychologist or a childhood education person.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm qualified to answer that question.
Based on what you've read. Like if a mom came to you and was like, I don't know if my kid works with this Montessori thing. Would you be like, get more glass? What would you say? Maybe glass. Take the tile out of your house.
Yeah, right.
Stop spanking your kids.
We need to stop spanking our kids.
We don't spank our kids. Don't say that.
Okay.
We correct them.
Well.
With our hand.
Too passionate.
We don't spank our kids very much.
Well.
That's like a last ditch effort. Like. It's like a. Anyway, sorry.
In the Mitchell shit show.
Do you think.
If things really get bad.
Yeah, okay, 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 stop. Do you think. Like if a mom came to you and said, my kid just does, I don't think my kid does well with Montessori. He's too.
I don't know. Cause I think if you could say anything about any kid, you could say that about one of our kids.
What? That they're not ready for Montessori?
Maybe that it doesn't work well for them.
Really? You think that?
I don't know.
Cause you're
kind of doing it.
You're doing it.
Well.
You're ready to give up? You're only three
episodes
into this podcast and you're already giving up on the method?
No, you're saying that like is there like another method better for other kids?
No, I'm just, yeah. Like, are there some kids who a mom could like legitimately say,
no,
this is not.
The thing about Montessori is that what I love is I feel like it is for every child because it's, and I've said this before on previous podcast is that it's not just like a giving of information. It's like a pouring into a person. Like you're developing an entire person. It's not just education. Like you're teaching them control of movement, like how to control their own emotions and feelings and like emotionally, physically, how to control their body. And like that all of that is connected. So I think to say that like her philosophy, like just say that, oh, that doesn't work for our child. That would be like saying, well, then you don't like, are you saying you don't want your child to have like a correct order and like know how to control their body to be able to do these things and independently and be able to do stuff for themselves and function as a moral human being?
Yeah. Are you saying you don't love your kid? Are you saying you don't love your children?
I'm just saying.
Is that what you're saying?
Like, that's what she.
Then sure. If you hate your kids, then Montessori is not good for them.
I don't think that they would understand like the basis of Montessori.
Yeah. If you hate your kids,
now,
you shouldn't put them in Montessori.
I'm sure that there are like, I know that there are different.
Differently abled kids.
No, that like some Montessori places say that they're Montessori and they they may have the toys. They may have the materials. But they're not really approaching it in that way.
Well, and a lot of people, I didn't realize this, but a lot of people have a negative stigma of Montessori because they've had exposure to schools that basically they're saying Montessori, but what they mean is daycare. And they're not, they're just kind of letting the kids do whatever. And they're not trying to, remember?
They're not leading them.
Yeah, yeah. We did
a parent. Because you need a leader. Like, then you need to show them how to do these things and how to do them correctly. Because
we did that parent meeting at our church, and there was a few parents that were like, wait, if this religious education is based on Montessori, we don't want to do it because our experience of Montessori is very bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that some people just say Montessori, and all that means is, like, they have a room with some stuff on the walls that is kind of like Montessori work, but they're not qualified to be leading kids in it. They're just kind of letting kids just kind of play. They're not really doing much. So some people feel like Montessori.
Well, I know one parent was like, well, I feel like this is Montessori is like, they don't want you to have any social interaction with other kids, which is like,
not true.
Very, very not true. It's very much like you're all in this room together. There's not even separate desks. Like there's like desks aren't even a thing. I mean,
yeah,
like,
there's
public
another,
school is much more separated.
There's
and,
another
like,
kid I would
stop
play with.
Talking and shush. And,
yeah, there's another kid I would play with.
Yeah, and you have circle time all together and like
we do these. I loved one of my favorites.
Outside whenever you like
was these blocks and there were blocks of like different sizes and shapes. Mm-hmm. So some blocks were like really big mm-hmm. and square and rectangle. And then some were like same length, but thin. And they were like different. They all were different shapes. And so I would like press them together and make all these. And then me and this other kid would like take one block and pretend it was a person and take another block and then just like walk them around. And like, yeah. I don't know. We just manipulate and you could put it because they were either the same length or the same width, or they were just all, you could just configure them all into this. It was just very satisfying. I just remember that feeling of like, oh, this is really satisfying. Just putting all these heavy things and light things and they'd all just kind of stack together in different ways.
Yeah.
That was really cool. See, I have good memories. Good memories of Montessori. I'm an entrepreneur.
You are. Yeah.
How do you want this episode to end? This has been about 40 minutes.
Yeah, I hope you're going to cut a lot out of it, though.
Yeah, most of the parts where you talk. It's not true.
Why would you even say that?
I'm just joking. I'm making this entertaining. You want it to be entertaining. People like tension. People like drama. The tension when we look at each other, though.
I mean, they're not going to be able to see it.
Oh, they
will.
There's
no video.
No, there's going to be video.
Mm. Okay. I don't know how to do that. You'll have to do that for me.
Oh, here's what you should do. Can I give you some advice? Are you okay with some?
No.
Okay, I won't give you advice. I think you should just shout out a few people who have so far shown you some love for this. I mean, you're doing this podcast thing. This is a crazy thing. It's a scary thing. You don't normally put yourself out there this way. It's been exciting. You've said you like it's exciting to put stuff out because people are listening, and then it's also scary and
very scary. Yeah, more scary.
Yeah, but
and nerve-wracking.
You should like say hi to some of the people that might listen to this who you've been interacting with on social media or who have said that they've listened.
Say hi to Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
You're awesome.
Thanks for calling in.
I love you.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but okay. As a sister, as a sister in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I just felt like that'd be weird. I just felt like that'd be weird to be like, I
hope Tim's not listening.
Tim.
Her husband.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tim Jara.
No.
Okay. Who else do you want to give a shout out to?
And Angela.
I love her.
Someone who also Angela, feel like has her stuff, her life together.
Do you know how to pronounce her last name? Because I don't.
Johnitas.
I know. I don't think that's it.
That's not it.
You can call in at 817-527-1423. Leave a message. Make sure you make it clear that it's for Mommy Montessori
podcast. Montessori Mom.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Mommy.
Seriously? Hi, Angela.
Yeah. So a couple other people have commented and I've from.
Well, I mean,
it's been 2 weeks, so I just forgot. Yeah.
All of your relatives, your aunts.
Oh, yeah.
Aunt Michelle.
My aunts. Probably Aunt Michelle. Aunt Marianne. My godmother.
Yep.
Michelle is our daughter's godmother.
Excuse me. Who else do you want to give a shout out to? I want to give a shout out to Bono, like the most Christian rock band of all time. I want to give a shout out to John McCain, RIP. I want to give a shout out to Prince.
Okay, I think we're going to end this.
We're going to
end. I think we're
How
done.
Do you want to end it?
We're done. I'm going to end it with this quote.
You're not talking into the microphone.
I'm going to end it with this quote.
Okay,
give me the quote. By Ralph Waldo Emerson, which is like a...
Who's he? Was he black?
In every way. Why would you say that?
No, I just... Isn't he a black novelist from
he
the...
He is not... Black. His middle name is Waldo.
That doesn't mean anything.
That is the whitest name ever.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of
Emerson is like a novelist / poet.
Yeah, and very like into nature and wilderness, right?
Yes.
He really influenced the guy that the movie Into the Wild was based off of.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. He read a ton of Ralph Waldo Waldo Emerson.
Okay, so here's how
so was
Ralph
he Montessori?
Waldo Emerson and Maria Montessori
they
connect.
Interacted?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I don't know.
They dated? Do you think they would date?
Oh my gosh, shut up.
Do you think they would date?
Shush.
Do you think he'd Montessori her?
You are out of control. Okay.
Sorry, go back to the...
Okay,
so... You said that at the beginning.
How I think they are connected is that... So, Maria Montessori would take this thing... Like
what thing?
So, something in the environment that you is pre-prepared for this child.
Like a tree?
And, like, it would have a goal. Like, this thing is gonna teach, like, one little tiny thing. Like, say...
So vague. This thing is going to teach one tiny thing.
Yeah. Okay. So she would have like these shapes.
An acorn.
No, she would have these shapes.
Okay.
Okay.
What shapes?
And cylinders. Like it could be the same shape, right? The same shape. All these cylinders, right?
Okay.
But they were only different in one way. So like this.
One of them was a bad
entire
cylinder.
Activity. Okay. Shut up. This entire activity had one focus to teach this child one thing. So what? They would like be all the same height, but different widths. Like all these cylinders would be different widths.
Gosh, that sneaky mom.
So, so this child could order them. But on like they would have to put them in this cutout of wood that would only fit like if you
the tried, right width
the
yeah,
right
yeah.
correct yeah. width so yeah. there's no way you can mess up
yeah
and then and it would teach this child like self-independent they could do this and learn this themselves
some things are
how things
yeah,
progress
some things like, are wider than others
yes like so like yep. that's a sense
yeah
and she would teach the senses a lot so yeah. like
feel it
yeah you're really really throwing me off here.
I'm sorry. Okay. End with the quote. This is awesome. You have a quote. This is okay, really cool. So, you're really prepared for this.
So
talk
she,
into the microphone,
thing.
Though.
Here's
talk,
the thing. Is okay. She would take everything, like all this stuff, like put everything away that took away from this one focus. Like she just wanted to focus on this one thing and nothing else really
what
mattered,
take,
right?
What do you mean she would take everything
so
away?
So like everything, like so she would, if she saw that she made this thing for this child and it was confusing. Like, there was too much stuff. Like if you say you had this toy with all these cylinders and they
it's
were
not
only
a toy.
Different,
it's not a toy.
You would
it's
have
a
this
work.
Work.
Yes.
For one.
Thank you. Gosh.
You're doing my job.
Yes.
And all these cylinders would be the same in every way. They wouldn't even be different colors. So even kids' toys now, you see there are a bunch of different colors.
Yeah,
and she would say
screw
that's
that.
Just a distraction.
Yeah, too much.
You're distracting them from the thing that you're trying to teach them.
Yeah, one thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and then you build up from that.
Yeah.
So like maybe at one point you could do arranging them from light colors to dark colors.
Well, I don't know.
And then from a small width to
big width.
A big width. Yeah. And length, like shortest to tallest,
too
all
many.
In one work, but
too
you
many.
Would build it. Like,
yeah. yeah.
First
you
would just
that.
Do width. Then yeah. you would do height,
yep.
like mm-hmm. showing them how to yep. do build up to height. And then you would show them how to do like lightest to darkest.
Yeah.
And then you could slowly start combining all those things into one work.
Yep. Mm-hmm. yep.
Okay. So she, that was her thing is
that
like
was
this
her thing.
Act to this work has one goal.
Yep.
And if you don't have one goal and it's too much for this child.
Yeah.
Okay. And
so here's the quote.
Here's the quote.
How does that connect to, you never explained how you said this is how.
It connects to this
how,
quote. Just listen.
Okay.
Perfection is not achieved when there is nothing more to add, but when there is nothing more to take away. Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Wow.
Which also connects to minimalism, like the whole minimalism
movement.
Say it
again. Can you say it again?
Perfection is not achieved when there is nothing more to add, but when there is nothing more to take away. Ralph Waldo Emerson.
You have such a beautiful voice. Do you know that?
You are lying to me.
Why would? No, I'm not.
Because you keep telling me that my microphone voice is horrible.
No, when you talk... When you address the mic appropriately.
Oh, okay.
Your voice.
Well, I'm glad that I should go back to my, just never mind. We'll talk about it later.
Has this been the best episode you've had?
It has because I have somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I feel like that's much more entertaining than just a one monologue.
I am
you know?
Way more entertaining.
You're way more entertaining than a.
Than nothing.
Poetry recitation. At
no,
a
no.
coffee shop.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
But, no, this was a cool quote. I really like that.
Yeah.
Perfect. Let me try it. You ready? Right on.
Not.
Right
no,
on the.
Not.
Okay. Right on the wall. Why does it say right on the wall?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It says right on the wall.
Because I have a quote wall in my mind that I want to do at some point in our room. Oh. And I know you're never going to let me do it, but it's
Hey, I might let you do it.
You don't like anything on the walls.
I mean, I've never been a fan of a quote wall.
You like taking everything away.
Don't say that. That's not true. That sounds so sad. That's not true at all.
Like everything off the counters and everything cleared.
Look, if you behave, I will let you have things, okay? But start behaving, and then you'll get things. Okay, here we go. Perfection is not achieved when there is nothing more to add. So I don't know if I understand this quote. Perfection's not achieved when there's nothing more to add, but when there's nothing more to take away. I'm going to think about this for a while.
Okay. That's good. That's why I wanted to end on this quote.
How does this connect to Montessori? Like for you, does this make you like,
it makes me think about like this.
It's not about adding.
It's not about having all this stuff. It's about having a focus.
Yeah. And where it's like there's nothing more to take away. I've finally found like the one thing. Yeah. I can't take away anything else. It's now I have the one thing.
This is what you need. Yeah. Like, especially because with homeschool, and you're the one directing, the adult is directing, the parent,
yeah,
you can definitely so easy to get, like, say, oh my gosh, this thing I've been trying to do isn't working, and I want to, like,
add this.
Yeah, to, like, try to reach my goals.
Yeah.
And it can be, like, too much. Mm. Then you have too much going on.
Yeah.
You're, like, switching around too much, but it's, like, you just need to focus on this one thing, and yeah,
I like that. That's really good. I think that's good. I think people
congratulate Ralph.
Congratulations, Ralph,
for coming up with a endearing, inspiring quote that has lasted for a century.
One century?
Yeah, I think he lived in the 1800s.
Wow, that's probably like two centuries.
Yeah, I guess. No, one and a little bit.
How old do you think you'll live? Yet. How old?
You know, I don't like the whole when kids are like, oh, I'm 5 and a half because they're so excited to be the next age.
Yeah, forget that. Kids are dumb. All right, guys. It's a great episode. Thanks for having me on, Danielle. It's really great to be here. What?
Shaking hands, huh?
See, people listening don't know that I just shook your hand.
No, they don't.
When's the last time we've shaken hands?
Never. We have never.
Yeah, no.
Never shaken hands.
Are you kidding
since
me?
Since I have ever.
That was met the first
you.
Time.
We never touched before we started dating.
Hey, don't say that.
We hadn't.
Before we started dating.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you
which,
think.
Which, what was dating? Dating was a long walk. That's what our date was.
So you think that.
You didn't have any money to take me on a date.
So you think today was the first time we've ever shaken hands?
Yeah.
No.
I think so.
No, I don't think so. I bet I've.
We've held hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have never shaken hands. Like, hello. Nice
Stop
to
trying
meet
to outgrip me. It's making me feel insecure.
I mean, the first You're time so we strong. Ever met, we never. We didn't shake hands.
We didn't kiss. We didn't
I just
touch.
Laughed at you.
Yeah. Relationship has come.
I think everybody knows that story.
Yeah. All right. So how do you close your episodes out? You say, peace out. Peace out.
Really
A-Town
a,
down.
I don't have a tagline yet, but this has been Montessori Mom with your host, Danielle Mitchell, and her guest, husband.
And.
Co-host.
Edmund
Mitchell.
Joseph Mitchell II.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the only person in this room who's been Montessori'd.
That's so true.
So I'm an expert. So just come back. Just
come back and listen to Edmund. He's going to be on every podcast from now on.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Hey, it's too much. Thank you.